The Check-In is WUWM's ongoing series, keeping up with changes in Milwaukee's immigration landscape. This week, we look into what you can do when you spot ICE in your community. A local organization held a training last week to equip community members on how to spot, verify, and document ICE activity and presence in Milwaukee. WUWM's Jimmy Gutierrez was there and has the story.
First, thank you for everybody coming out on this hot day.
My name is Raul Rios, and I'm an organizer with Comité Sin Fronteras. And today we ran a verifier training program for our community rapid response network.
This is a verifier training. So people are coming here to kind of spot ICE and other law enforcement that may be unfamiliar to their community. What are the skills that they leave a training like this that they're able to do that kind of work?
I would say the most important skill, the one that we try to get people to leave with, is that initial confrontation of meeting the ICE agent as well. The skills that we want people to leave with is the confidence, the network itself, and being able to spot ICE. As we mentioned, a lot of the times they wear plain clothes and they try to get in and out as quickly as possible. So that rapid response, being able to keep it within our network framework so we don't spread panic online, and also being able to accurately confront that agent and spot them, because, you know, a lot of the time they're closed off, walled off, and they won't respond to your questions.
So the role at a glance, it's a volunteer position. The requirements here are reliable car and job flexibility. The second part here is not really a requirement as much. Bilingual is a plus, but it's not a necessity. Your responsibilities would be traveling to the site of reported ICE activity to verify and debunk claims as they come in, and report to the dispatcher within 45 minutes of the initial call. Optimally, is ASAP. Once on site, you want to confirm ICE presence and report back. If ICE is present, call for backup and or more eyes and voices, and documenting what ICE is doing.
I'm curious where this training came from. Is this something that you saw groups nationally doing, or is this something that community members were asking for? Is this something strategically you just wanted people to be prepared with as well?
This is something that's kind of been happening nationally as well. We mentioned the group Siembra from North Carolina. They've been very active. There's another group in Los Angeles as well, Union del Barrio. They've also been very active. It's something that we take inspiration from for this type of network because it's needed everywhere. You know, ICE is going on the ground and fielding all of these types of operations nationwide. And so it was both seen and being inspired by these other programs, but also recognizing that we needed something like that here in Milwaukee and broader Wisconsin.
Yeah, you had brought up Los Angeles. And I mean, a ton of the focus from ICE, CPB, the presidential administration is really focused on LA and mobilizing our own national military in those places. And also a larger ICE presence in Chicago as well. What are we seeing here in Milwaukee as of today?
So ICE has been it's been increasingly persistent in increasing their ground operations. We've seen them merging with the FBI. They've been bringing HSI out as well, which is underneath ICE's wing as well. They have mostly been trying to pull people out of courthouses. They've also been doing this thing now where they'll say they need to do welfare checks on families. But it's definitely been an increasing presence throughout Milwaukee.
Another part of this is what folks are seeing is that it's not easy to identify ICE, right? Like, they're in unmarked cars. They're not identifying themselves. They have these very violent ways of detaining people, even being like into kidnapping folks. So how does a training like this take all of that into mind for lay people, regular people to spot ICE?
We want every single person optimally in Milwaukee to be a verifier. You know, we want them to have this hotline and be able to spot these people. And we want them to take away with them that just because these people are in plain clothes, just because, you know, they're hard to identify, they're easy to identify in the sense that they are super balled off. They'll be in little conglomerate groups. They'll meet up somewhere and then they'll go to specific residences at the courthouse. And we want them to leave with that ability to be able to confront them. You know, we brought up Siembra, who've done really good work. Seriously, shout out Siembra. being able to see that, you know, they use these same cars in their same operations. That's why we want to get their license plates. That's why we want to get their identifying information as well. We want people to be able to leave with that, being able to identify them so that if they come in the neighborhood again, we can spot them every time we verify that they've been on the ground and the presence here.
And I know a lot of the training today is about verifying ICE, but you're also verifying ICE because, as I would assume, ICE is in a neighborhood to detain someone or to pick someone up. So what do we know about the rights people have that are the targets of ICE?
the rights of the people is that the people can't enter your residence, your property without a judicial warrant, a signed judicial warrant from the magistrate. And that's really important, is because these people will try to catch you off guard. They'll try to get you in your home. You know, we've seen those videos of people knocking on doors, and like they'll try to lure you out as well. You know, there was an incident, I believe, in Los Angeles where they had a little girl. And they waited for the mother to bring her out that way. It's the different ways that they've been trying to engage in. They've been trying to circumvent the judiciary. And the reason why we give people the information of the judiciary, because it's still a tool in our arsenal that we can use to protect our communities.
All right. So we're about to get everything started today, and I'll just kind of be a fly on the wall. But what are you hoping that participants get from going through this training?
I am hoping that they get the ability to not only be able to confront and identify ICE for community defense, but also just ingrain themselves further in their community as well. You know, a lot throughout the modern era is like very isolationist. People feel very scattered. Building community defense is hard because so many people are so isolated in their own world. But through trainings like this and through the Comité Network as a whole, we can kind of rebuild that and really be able to centralize that and be able to defend each other and spot ICE and protect our community members. And that's the most important thing I want people to leave with, besides, you know, the verifier training itself, is being able to protect each other and feeling like we are a part of each other as well.
The training took place at the Voces de la Frontera office on Milwaukee's South Side. This was the fifth ICE verifier training the organization has held, and its largest. Raul said 80 people signed up for today's session. But because of the weekend's heat, a little over half that number showed up. Raul co-led the training with other members of Comité Sin Fronteras, including Yuseli Flores, who went over this little card that was sitting on everyone's chair. It broke down what to do in case you spot ICE.
It's a verifier checklist. So it's a little square. We want to encourage people to keep some in your car, keep one at home, keep one in your wallet, in your purse. And if you see suspected ICE, even if... you know, anybody can be a verifier. If you didn't get the call, but you're literally driving down the South Side and you saw ICE, you can do all these steps. So the first one is to record everything. So
the training went over what goes into becoming a verifier, what the work is, and the checklist. Then the trainers role-played a scenario of what this looks like in real life. A few people were verifiers arriving at a scene where ICE was spotted and then started engaging with officers. After the trainers demonstrated what this looked like, they broke participants off into small groups and role-played again. Here's Raul playing the role of an ICE officer.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. Hi, I am Verifier 1. Are you here to be a verifier?
Yes.
Yes. I'm Verifier as well. Just here to be a verifier. We all three are here.
Let's start recording.
All right.
It is 2:14.
Yep. We are on the scene to confirm that there is a police presence.
What are you guys recording?
We're with Community Watch. Recording.
Yeah, community Watch for what?
Community Watch. We are just with Community Watch, and we got a call in our neighborhood about some suspicious activities. Some folks who are not from around here just, you know, looming around. We just wanted to make sure that everything was okay.
We will remain present as an observer.
Yes. Observer? Any of you got ID?
Are you law enforcement?
Maybe. Maybe not.
What agency are you with?
If you guys are asking me for identifying information, how come I can't see any identification? You know? See what I mean?
What are you doing?
I did identify myself. I'm with Community Watch.
What kind of Community Watch?
My name's Cortez Washington, and what brought me here is because that, you know, somebody that always wants to have, like, a stake in the community and be it feeling like a part of the community. This is something that is attacking our community as a whole. And also as a black man too, you know, this is the type of thing that has been occurring for all communities of color for decades and generations. And so very much like stop and frisk 2.0, even worse because they're taking the people to off-site places, basically like black site places and holding them until they send them to Lord knows where. And so I just felt like it was my duty as somebody in the community who wants to help out more to be able to learn how to the proper way and also make sure that when it comes to anything that I have that I'm able to turn over to folks in order to get things done according to the legal system, then I did that accurately.
Going through the training so far, is there anything that you've picked up that you've learned that's been new to you? Does this feel kind of like instinctually like what you would do if you hadn't had this training?
I think just like the power that we have as citizens, you know, like asking for identification from them because they are part of a government governing body or government entity, being able to say, no, I don't need to, I'm not comfortable giving you any identification or anything of that nature. And a lot of other things as far as like being able to like actually speak to the people that are behind in these homes or in these places that are being targeted, being like, hey, you don't have to come out. They have to have a warrant. They have to have this. You don't have to say anything, you know, and still completely ignore what they're doing and just be there to be the support and be the person that's helping out those folks rather than trying to, rather than being afraid of them, because that's how they operate, is off fear. Off fear and off the notion that they can just come in anywhere and do anything they want, and that's not the case, you know, so.
You want to get involved with that work. Everyone's had opportunity. That is a wrap. The first, last thing I want to say here is, seriously, thank you all for coming out, especially on this hot day, for doing this. This is important. Each one of you is a valuable community member. Give yourselves a round of applause for coming out today.